The topic tonight is the Moedim, and start with a word that I heard from Rashiva many times, that he would say over from the tell his Rashiva that tells the Rav, Rav Mitzvah, that there's a law in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that you don't say Tachon in Tisha B'Av because it's a Moed. It says in the Pasuk in Eichel, it says Kora Alai Moed Lishbor Bachuroi. So Bershom was Kora Alai Moed Lishbor Bachuroi. Now Rashi teaches over there, the Pshuto Shemekah Rashi teaches Kora Alai Moed means he brought a group together, Lashon of a group coming together to attack Klal Yisrael. So it doesn't sound like such a very, very, very pleasant thought process. So to say that that's the reason not to say Tachanun. Rashi took a pluga, which is like a group, to attack. But Chazal are seeing that, you know, this the Medrash is seeing this as a Lashon of a Moed of a holiday. So how do you call Tisha B'Av a holiday? So the Rashi would say, oh, we'll see that this is the word we're going to see over here. That the word Moed, the root of the word Moed is from Lashon of Hisva'adus, coming together, a group coming together. So there's different ways that people meet. Sometimes, you know, a child and a parent, you know, sometimes the child drifts away from the parent. So the child only re-recognizes the parents when the parent comes down strong in him. That's a form of how the child will be meeting his father again, or is coming, having awareness of his father. They're going to come back together and recognize that. So the name of the month is Av, right? Which that you know there has to be elements of that. That's you know the name of the month of. So Klaisel is they're losing it. You know they're going down a slippery slope. Klaisel is deteriorating. Their level of kedusha is going down and down and down. And like the Pesukim say, the Klai Yisrael refused to believe the Mesa Mitzvah to be destroyed. It's not going to happen. In their mind, this is the Yirmiyahu was a Navi Sheker. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. And, you know, life will go on as is. But the reality is, life cannot go on as is. Klai Yisrael was going to self-destruct if life went on as is. So what did the Rosh Hashanah do? The Rosh Hashanah took the most precious thing that he has and destroyed it in front of their nose and then woke them up. And that was the process which brought Klai Yisrael back into sync with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Tisha B'Av is a Moyed. We met the Kodesh Baruch Hu that day. So it is a Moyed in that sense. So the word Moyed is from the Lashon Mitzvahadus. So we'll see this thought. In the Moyedim, so let's start with this piece of first. Let's look at the second page. This is the first actually in Parshas Bo. He says the word Moyed is Misharis Yoad. Which Yod means to appoint something, lezamen pegisha to arrange a meeting. Hisvaadus, it's the idea of coming together as a group. Mitzayim welcome shenikul hisvaadus. So when we designate a place, like you say, which is mikan not to the chashama oil moed, it's either a place which is designated for hisvaadus or isman shenikul hisvaadus. So for the Psukim of Elam Moed Hashem and Parshas Emor, Medur Bal Bechinas Hazman, Moedim Heim Zmanim Shenikvu Lono Lehivoyed Im Hashem. These are the times in which we meet a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? So that's the point that he says. Just before we go right to the piece of Farsh, you'll see it again in the in his own flavor of the morale. So the it's Gemara Makkos. Gemara Makkos says I don't know what page number it is.
I got it.
So Mavaz is a Moedus. So the moment there says that a person is Mavaz is a Moedus is Kilo about a Zor. Okay. That was a mavur. This makes sense. Ki amoyed hukva shiyu chagim el Hashem yizbarach va'ayv dim avodosi yizbarach. The purpose of a moyed is a time which is designated to celebrate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. and me ovid him. And so we're going to come together. When two people come together and meet, that's called a moyah. So here the morale says the same point. So the purpose of Yom Tov is that Klaisel, Kadosh Baruch Hu, should come together and meet. So right, two people wake up to meet, and one of them says, "You know what? I'd rather go somewhere else." And that's a horrible statement, right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klaisel, "I'd love to meet with you. We're going to get together on the Pesach." He says, "Rosh Hashanah, I have something more important to do." So, right. So it comes out that's why Tchila of Avodah Zarah. I mean, that's like a statement, I don't want to be with you. You can't get worse than that. You know, husband and wife make up to get together, go out. She says, you know what, I'd rather go out with somebody else. Right? I'd rather be somewhere else. That's a horrible statement. Now, the Chacham of the Mor says, when they become the regal, they would lift up the berachas. They were able to see into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Ki al yusul regal hu etzem achir b'shenikar moyed. Also yamarim lehem zed. They would show them that the kruvim were morim zayim zed. The kruvim were hugging each other. So the simon of that, as it were, Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klaisel, so we're coming together. So that is what moyed is about. Moyed is about the deal of the two parts coming together. That's why the more I use the lashon of mavazes and moedas, double mavazes are regalim. Right? The pasuk refers to them as the shalosh regalim. It says, but we simply use the lashon of moed because moed represents just a point of a meeting. Right? So that therefore, the more I use the lashon of mavazes and moedas, then mavazes are regalim. Now it's interesting. Rashi says a little bit different to chol moed. Right. So, which besides the Musar Shabbai about what to do with Chol HaMoed, right? It is we grapple with the element of it's we can sort of the Mechalek to Beis Shammai Silla by Chanukah, whether you're most of Halacha or Pachas or Halacha. Beis Shammai says you start with 8 and 7 and 6 and 5 and 4. Beis Hillel says you go 1, 2, 3, 4, right, you go up. So that's what it has. One pshat he says, Mechalek Beis Shammai Silla, the Beis Shammai is saying, the reality is, the most people, something which is new and exciting is very, very, very precious. So first day of Hanukkah is a really exciting day. It's Hanukkah, like the neighbors, right? So it's Pachas Ohalim. Right, so Beis Shammai reflects the reality of what we live with. The first day is the 8, and then it goes down. Right, Beis Hillel is reflecting the paradigm, the ideal that it should be. I mean, theoretically, it's if we have it right, like the first day is exciting. I have 2 days under my belt; I should be even happier. I say I have 8 days of Yom Tov. I should be even happier. I have 8 days already. Right? The Rebbe Huttner said that that the Welt says that there's a saying in Yiddish, Sevek Gangan Yamtav, Yamtav left. It says, and Ichzog, Sekukuban Yamtav. I have another Yamtav under my belt. Right? A person goes through life and he experiences many, many Yamim Tovim, and each Yamtav he's had another opportunity to experience spending time with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like, that's a Each Yom Tov I should look at is, wow, I have another Yom Tov. Okay, Yom Tov is leaving. We're sad that Yom Tov left. Right? We have a very special guest. Right? So he comes and spends time with you. So you, right? He spends 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Each day you're like, dude, I'm so happy he's staying so long. Right? Right? When he leaves, I feel sad that he left. But I think back, I'm so happy that he spent so many days with me. So Chol HaMoed gets somewhere, we have a Beis Shammai Dika problem with Chol HaMoed, Right? Pesach, the first night of the Seder is like, wow, all of the excitement and anticipation, etc. And then, second night, about 8 day of Pesach, it's on life support, it's a problem, but it shouldn't be like that. So Rashi says specifically, the Chol HaMoed is where you see them about as a moedas, Okay, but that's not the point I want to get to. Agav, we'll see in the morale. The morale says that you know, we count up to Shavuos. Right? We don't count. You know, in most people, when you're counting towards something you're anticipating, you count down. Right? How many days left the person gets engaged? You know, and you ask them, how many days left you have left till the chasm? Right? She says, oh, I have 14 days left till the chasm. He didn't say, well, I started counting from the engagement to the chasna. I'm holding my day 73, you know. He doesn't count like, you don't count like that. You count down. We count up. Right? So why don't we say, listen, you know, there's 49 days left to Shavuos, there's 48 days, there's 47 days left. We count up. So because we're looking at the ideal. The idea is each day we've added on more preparation and more, we're going up. We're going up towards the Yom Tov. We're getting better. We are going up. We're getting higher. So on account like that, I did want to share with you. I thought this is not in the which about that. It's a beautiful thought which I heard from Rabbi Einstetter in Cleveland about the counting. So he had a fascinating thought about the counting. He says that we count the days and the weeks differently. Right? We count at nighttime. The person says, tonight is the first day of the argument. The day hasn't passed. It's the first day. There'll be another 23 hours of this day before the day is over. But he counts at the beginning. We don't say, and it's the beginning of the first week also. After week has passed, I say, and it's 1 week. So we count the weeks at the end. We count the days at the beginning. That was the horror that he had. So he says, what's the pshat? Right? He said that the proper approach to Avodah is, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm now in the situation. Let's do it. Right? Should you sit there and worry about how much you've accomplished? No, not while you're being Avodah. After a period of time is finished, you can look back and say, you know, look how much you've accomplished. Right? But if you start trying to see how much you accomplished as you're going along, you'll never go anywhere. You keep looking over your shoulder. Look backwards, you're not going to move forwards. But it is important along the way, so once in a while, you know, I need a motivation, you know. Can I keep going? Well, look backwards. Look where you were 6 months ago. You're much better than you were 6 months ago. You're not going to necessarily see progress along the way. Where do you see the progress? She once time said over from the Medrash of Maggid. It's one of the old times, I think, Gifter quoted the Maggid, the Medrash of Maggid. Baal Tanya quoted sometimes, because the Tanya Betzim is more like an intellectual safer. But the Maggid was like real, you know, down to earth, Amcha, you know, type of thought process. He says, once a Chassid came to the Rebbe, and he's saying, you know, I'm not seeing, to the Maggid, and he said, I'm not seeing any progress in my Avodah. I'm not moving anywhere. So the Rebbe said to him that there's two types of progress. He says, when a child is born, the child does nothing. Right? After a few weeks, the child is able to smile. And the child, you know, you say, yeah, the child smiled at me. So, you know, the wife tells her husband, you know, the baby smiled at me. And then she calls her mother, the baby smiled at me. She calls, you know, and nowadays she puts it on, like, you know, publicizes it, and who knows where, right? You know, right, good. Then there's, you know, the first step, and, you know, the baby's crawling the first step. And it's everything is a major to-do. Right, you know, the child's learning aleph bays. He's learning, getting his sitter, chumash, right? Starting Gemara. No, he's 18 years old. He's learning Gemara Shetos, says Mefarshim. 19 years old, Gemara Shetos, says Mefarshim. 20 years old, Mefarshim, there's no. Right? He says, the first stage of Aliyah is Aliyah in Bekatnus. Aliyah in Bekatnus is very, very clear. Each step is very distinct and very clear. Aliyah begadlus, people which are gedolim, you don't see any clear change. How do you see change? How do you measure it? When you look backwards. I've been learning Gemara for 4 or 5 years, and I'm much better now than I was 5 years ago. I can't measure it as it's happening. I'm not going to see the difference from day to day. In retrospect, I can look back and say, well, look, you know, I really have progress. I'm working on an avodah on midas. You're not going to see. You might have, you'll have a hatzlocha one day, you'll have a riffin the next day, and you know. But you look back over a period of time. You look back. You know what? I'm better than I was 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. He said. So, the weeks you count in retrospect. the days you count, right? But I have to appreciate that I have a day ahead of me. This is this day which is ahead of me. I'm ready to go for it. What, in retrospect, you know, I look back once in a while. That's what keeps me motivated to keep going. That's what he said. Okay. So he says the point of Moyed is Lashon of Hizvadus. That's that point over there. So let's do this. I really want to spend some time on Rav Hirsch, but I want to see this other idea also. So let's go to the next page after that. This is a piece from Rav Gedalia Shor. The Rav Gedalia on Moedim. And he's dealing with Parshas of Chodesh, and you know, of Chodesh and Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, etc. So one of the things which we grapple with a little bit, you know, which to understand that we know that anybody that's exposed to the world of Chassidus and the world of Machshava, you know, the Yomim Tovim are like mamish, like the most halakhic things in the world. You know, there's nothing more halakhic than Pesach, you know, Shavuos, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, right? The Pesukim describe it very, very, you know, the Pesukim and the Parshas of Mishpatim, Parshas Kisiso, Chag Osiv, Chag Aviv, Chag Kisir. It's a harvest festival, right? So what's Pshat? He's like this. So he wants to bring Dibur Morale. We'll see the morale inside actually, but he has a twist to the morale which the morale doesn't say. The Moedim are tied to occurrences which are in the natural flow of the year. Pesach is Tel Atar B'Chadish Obe, which was B'Chag Kotzir, Sukkot is Nikri Chag Osif. Mavarsham Kiksiv, this is a Pesach Kekelis, Kigoya Me'al Gavoya Shemer. Okay, so this is the Pesach in Kehelis, which the Medrash uses, and the Zohar uses, that there's layers upon layers, there's higher and higher and higher layers in the creation. The gavoya mal gavoya sharm. There's a gavoya, there's somebody higher above somebody who's higher above somebody who's higher, etc. Kirushai. Kimash komash on a royam beseder atav nasa me'ein oisa dabr b'lamas l'yon. When we're seeing something in a physical expression, it really exists in a expression which is a higher madriga as well. A ruchnistic expression. Mabiru. Kikol hashpo shon royim bo zeholim. Hashpo hazu yuredes min lamala ad lamata der kololomis. Asher yislabish gam beseder atav. There's a concept called ishtalshalus. The Bereshit, when he is going to be putting a hashpo of toiv to the world, it first is developed in the highest levels of the bria, which is a world which are totally ruchnius. And it's slowly but surely it's brought down to a physical expression of it. So now we can work backwards. If I see a physical expression of it, I know that there's also a ruchnistic expression which exists. If there's a physical, there's a ruchnis as well. So that's what the point the morale says. So then Rav Gedalia Shor connects it to the following thought. So the Morah says like this. The Morah says, when you give somebody a matana, right, the purpose of matana is to create friendship. So when I give somebody stock, matan b'seis, you're supposed to give it without, you know, in a way which is hidden, anonymous, so that the recipient shouldn't know who gave it. You give a person a matana, which the purpose is to create friendship, give it anonymously, what you accomplish. Right? So you need to inform the person. I once heard Rabbi Yehuda Miller Zatzal, he said, you know, when you give, you give somebody a watch, and there's a paper which says it's 17 joules, leave the paper in the watch. Right, so when a person realizes you gave him a very, very valuable watch, you take all the things. I don't know what type of how kosher the watch is. Right, but I'm giving you a matana. I want to create this friendship. You should know how much I spent on you. Right, you know, I spent $17. I spent $800 on this watch. Wow, you know, I don't know. I want you to know that. And if I did spend $17, you better trouble. You should not leave the paper in. But that's a different issue. But. So Morris says, okay, so you tell the person. So Morris says, what would be a hanoisin pasal tinnik? So my neighbor's child, he's hungry, I give him to eat. Now the kid's not going to go home and tell his mother who gave him, because you know, they don't necessarily remember. So Morris says, certainly, you have to tell the mother. My but how do you tell the mother? I'm by a shayfle mishcha. Okay, so by a like this. So you take some, you gave him, you know, you gave him bagels with cream cheese and jelly. Put some cream cheese jelly in his face. Right? So he goes home. Moses is like, what happens? Where did we get your jelly from? So, Rabbi Reinl gave me lunch. Right? The kid's not going to remember to say. But if you put it on his face, the mother will ask, and you'll realize. So, Zakt, Rilal Yashur, he called a mitrim, beseda teva heim, kishoyev le mishkul adasha, beesa hu yesh hashbaruch. That's the Rosham's way to give us that make us aware that there's something that he gave us a matana. Rosham gave us the most valuable matana in the world, Pelchaga Aviv. Kaddish of it's a celebration of being able to be Mekaddish yourself, renew yourself, etc. I don't realize that it exists. I don't see Ruchnius. So I have no idea that there's a tremendous Hashpa of Ruchnius out there. Rosh says, okay, I'm going to make springtime. You say, wow, if there's springtime, must be there's Ruchnius, there's these Kaddishes. Maybe there's Kaddish of Ruchnius also. Ah, so now I realize. So now it comes out, we got it backwards. So we say, oh, there's springtime, right? And Mela, there's also Ruchnius. No. There's Ruchnius, and Mela Rosh also made springtime as Hechatimsa to inform us that there's Ruchnius to Gachidish. Right? That's what he's saying. All the trees blossoming is Hechatimsa. That's the get the person to realize it's the cream cheese and jelly on the face. That's all it is. Right? It's a very beautiful thought. Okay. And therefore, Me'ein Oisam Amirkim Shiroi Maseder Atel. And that's the pshat, when the pasuk refers to them as these harvest festivals, it's not referring to those harvest festivals. The pasuk is referring to them as there are elements which are existing in the Bria, which are going to give you the clue to understand what you can take advantage of in the world of Ruchnius. That's what he says in the thought. The Maral himself, which is the next piece, is morale all the way. Okay? Like he says, like a morale, what you expect the morale to say it. So we have, I think, three pages of morale over here. So the main point that he just said is here on this first page, on the left column, about 8 lines down. They said, Roy, Shiyu, Hazman, and Bela Kaddish Lashem. Ki Absha Aviv, Hu Dover Tivi. So, why is it? How is it holy? It's just a physical thing. But Hare Gavoya, Mal Gavoya, Shermer. The pasuk says it in Kohelis. There's levels upon levels upon levels. Ki yesh oyd havaya, al havaya yoser k'mashi yisbar. If we see that Chag Aviv, Chodesh Aviv, is a time of havaya, of things coming into existence, means this represents the kind of coming to existence that must be true, not only in a physical sense, but in a ruchni sense as well. What the makers by Yisburg, and therefore that the idea of the moments when something is created, right? So that's the moment where it touches its creator. Not the morale, right? When I make something, that's when the interaction between I who made it and the one who's receiving it takes place. So it comes out at the moment of Havaya, which that we don't see, but if we understand from the world that there's a world of things coming to existence, it means the person is bringing things into existence, it means he's interacting with the world and giving existence now at this point. So it means he's interacting with me on a ruchnistic level. Because that's a moment where I touch a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Pesach is a moment of touching a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he says. It's a moment of Dveikus at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a moment of Havaya. Okay. Then he says, okay, what is Chag HaOsif? Chag HaOsif is really it's the end of the process, where you bring it to the end of the process, and you bring it in. So he says, well, that's also a moment of, that's like, that it's the end of creation, it's the opposite of creation, it's when it's ending. That's when the person's going home, as it were, back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's also touching Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the two physical expressions are ways to tell us that mamas, these are moments of the Vekas on the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Pesach and Sukkot. But then he says that the so his point he says before, which I didn't want to read because it's, it doesn't say it in any short way, but the point is that the moment of Havaya is a moment of Dvekas and of holiness. The moment of Asifa is a moment of Kedusha. And then there's the moment where the Havaya, before it ends, it goes to the process which hits the pinnacle. The shlemus of the process, that itself is also Kedusha. Because that's really the goal. Right. So when I create something, right? So at that moment I'm meeting my Creator. So that's a very special moment. But the Creator put it into existence because He had a goal for it. And that goal is going to be reached at some point, and that's when where you don't necessarily intrinsically see that there has to be a connection at that moment. But if in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moment that he envisions as the purpose, as the goal, that the shleimus, that's the moment when his creation comes back where he wants it to be. That's what the creation was supposed to be. So that's also a moment of touching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? V'chein zman ha-katzah sheyesh b'shleimus havayis ha-olam ha-tivi. Katzah means it's fully grown. Od yesh shleimus yoseh elyon b'mayla v'hu shleimus ha-acharon. But it's a shleimus of Dveik, because Reis Baruch is number two. And Zman Osif Sheish Havaya Asifa. There's Asifa Lamala, so Asifa Achakol, Nesav El Asifa Rishon. So if there's Asifa bringing it back, the represents in Shemayim, the person is bringing everything back. He sent the Bria, it's the boomerang. And he sent the Bria out, as it were, and it's coming back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's Sukkis. That's the Asifa of Sukkis. So Morel takes this point that, you know, Elishar quotes very briefly. He says a much, much bigger thought. So I'm seeing these things happening in a physical sense. I mean, I'm seeing a whole, like, this tremendously important play playing out in Shemayim. The process of Havaya, Shleimus, and then bringing it back to the Sibur Rishon, back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's happening in these three Yom Tovim. So therefore, these days have to be days which are designated to Kadosh Baruch Hu. At these moments, if that's what's happening in Shemayim, if I can imagine these moments have to be the most important moments. They're days which are designated to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So which Havaya is the most important Havaya in the Bria? What was the moment of create, the most important moment of creation, of creating something? It's not the Bria, because the Bria is just Echad Timtzum Alma for Klai Yisrael to come into existence. So the Ruchnius that exists, Havaya, which we're talking about, which is the goal, is Havaya Sam Yisrael. That's Pesach. So the Havaya which you see physically has to be Havaya in the Ruchnius, because that's Havaya Yisrael. Okay, then we understand. That's the Havaya El Yon. That's called Havaya, etc. Then Mechain Yesh Oy Shleimus Yerse El Yon, Shleimus El Yon, Shi Shleimus El Akron Hikabolus Yisrael Hatara. Okay, then you take this Havaya and you bring it to its final purpose. Right, you bring it to its Shleimus. What's that? When Klai Yisrael receive the Torah. When Klai Yisrael is able to take the Torah, use the world, and bring it back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we're back with Him. We've completed the cycle around the track. We were sent out. We reached the high point. We got, as it were, the goal, and then we run back home. Right. The father sends a child out. I want you to go get something and bring it back home. Right? So Klai Yisrael sent out. They get the Torah and they bring it back home, which is the Sif at the end. So that's understands. So these three, and then that makes sense. Why the Nani HaKavod represent that point that that's Klai Yisrael coming back to be mamish with the Shechina. That's Sukkis. That's how he sees the cycle. Okay.
Havaya is translated as
bring into existence.
Okay.
year when you cut it. What happens on Pesach is...
Pesach is the beginning. It's the wheat season. Like Pesach is when they would.
Right.
So wheat. So Pesach is the barley, and then
Shavuot
is the Shavuot is the wheat, and then Atzif is the fruits.
Okay. Okay. Then he deals with another issue which I don't want to do right now yet. Okay, we'll hold on to that. Before I go back to the first, I want to just touch on the back over here. This is from in the Shir Das. So he talks about this idea of how the physical expressions are just really the Rufi's expressions being expressed in a physical sense. So he brings a few Gemaras, the famous Gemaras that talks about that people got Skar Ba'olam Hazeh. I mean, he talks about this idea that a person could potentially get Skar Ba'olam Hazeh. Rav Avinu was afraid that he ate up his Skar Ba'olam Hazeh. Right? Because they'll tell me that the Skar Ba'olam Habo, there's nothing like the Skar Ba'olam Habo. That if you take all of the existence of all of the Bria and put it together, it doesn't come to one moment of Ba'olam Habo. So how can you get your Skar Ba'olam Hazeh? What do the words mean? Right, and then he brings a ma'aseh b'talmud echad. Okay, so that the matter says the talmud echad shoshim yechoy sheyotz chutz l'aretz bought osher. One of the medium left. He went out to business, came back very rich. But taminim royim asay mekanim boy. So all the taminim are jealous. He's rich. Why mevakshim hein lotz l'chutz? They wanted to go also leave the yeshiva and go away and do business. Mirab shem and mitzian lebika achas shei pnei maron. He went to a valley near Maron. And he said, Bika, Bika, Himali Dinari Zahav, full up with gold coins. Yiskila Moshech is Dinari Zahav Lifnayan. It sounded like flowing Dinari Zahav out of the heavens, came all the piles and piles of gold coins. Amalem, Zahavatem of Akshim Rei Zahav Tuluchem. If you want gold, here it is. El Hayudim Shekomi Shahunoito Akshav. You're diminishing your skar alam hab. She says, "What does that mean?" Okay. Shuon aroyim mizeh. She said, "Dover atzma shebuchol nyonav vanimsim buchol alamis." It's the same thing. It's not the pshat is the Rishon gives gold coins are in place of that skar. Gold coins, this skar, are the exact same skar. When you express it in this world, it comes across as something very precious.
Yeah.
The most precious thing you have in this world is gold coins. So that's how it expresses in a physical sense. You take the same thing you express in the world of Ruchnius, it has a different expression. That expression, obviously, you get to choose. You get to choose. Do you want the physical expression or do you want the Ruchnius expression? That's the Kiddush of the Skar. But there's no way you can pay off the Skar Ba'olam Haba with gold coins unless gold coins are the Skar Ba'olam Haba. Just expressed in a very, very, very physical sense. And he says, "Bashu b'kamal d'musat sura l'fiyam lakim shunim zimboi ma shaha yitzarach l'tziyim laharis lehem." They knew this rule, but when you see it, it makes a different impact. Then he says like this. Next page. You will know you said a call and changed. Everything, nothing really exists in this world on its own. Everything is just an expression of something in Shemayim, which it has a existence, a function, a purpose. The Bereshit allowed it to be expressed in this world as well. And we show him Mishtashalim Poi, and then they sort of like slowly advance down through the different levels of Kedusha down to this world, the different levels of Olamis into this world, and expressed in a physical sense. Well, the main. He says, so you find. We see examples of this. We find that we use sometimes phrases for physical things and for ruchnius, we use the same phrase. For example, Obviously, they're quite different. The Mosh Omer Onol Ish Hamisala B'Malos Ogrukni is Adam Zeh Ola. He went up. Right? This person was Ola. He developed up. Right? If this Onol Atzon Mishamshim Ben the Gael Lechon Ha'ol La Hargaboya. Right? A person saying, "I'm working with. I'm getting better. I'm going up, and my Ruchni is. I'm climbing." I use all these words for the Ruchni sense, the physical sense. Why? Because it's true that those both they share some sense. They share the same idea. That's one example that he gives. Another example he gives example is we talk about flavor. Come on, Tom. We use the word for flavor of a food. It's called tam. But it's about the one of b'shem tam, but it's the one of something which is more than my time. What's the reason? What's the difference between reason and flavor? Right? There's no, at first glance, any connection between the two ideas. Okay. The answer is. Right? We see that even though it's one's a very physical thing, it's very physical, and one is much more of a ruchnistic concept, we can use the same words for both of them. Because in some way they share existence. Even though I don't necessarily understand the connection. Now, put the guard of the union of Tom, the Rashiv used to say Abshad. We give this to say Abshad. He says, when a person eats a food, the benefit of the food is the nutrients of the food, the carbohydrates, proteins, the fats, the vitamins, the minerals, etc. The flavor is irrelevant, totally irrelevant in regards to the nutrition. But what's the purpose of flavor? Flavor is what gets it into your mouth. If everything was tasteless, right? I'm old enough to remember, like when the astronauts went up, for the 60s, putting up the space shots, landing on the moon, everything was their food was tubes, because they didn't have figured out this gravity issue, so breakfast was a tube. You take a tube and you breakfast, and have all the vitamins and minerals, and they made all these different studies what they need, etc. But they were told by control center when to eat, because they were going to eat, because it didn't taste good, right? So what are we going to do about the whole world? How do we get them to eat? We make it taste good, but it's totally irrelevant with regards to what it actually accomplishes in the body. That's the understanding of Tam and a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a tremendously ruchnistic concept. It has a tremendous impact on all the lomas and the person, etc. But how am I going to get you to want to do the mitzvah? I give you an understanding of the time in the mitzvah. But about it, it's nothing to do with the reality of the mitzvah. We're foolish enough to think, I understand why Hashem created a mitzvah. Like it's the guy's in first, he's in first grade, he says, I know why Einstein made the equation exactly what he did. I mean, come on, really? That's idiocy. Right? You have no understanding. You're a human being. I know why Hashem gave a mitzvah. The reason. I don't think it doesn't make any sense. But the time I have, the Rosh Hashanah made a way that the mitzvah tastes good to me. There's some way I enjoy it, so I'll do it. Then once I do it, it'll accomplish all the millions of things that the Rosh Hashanah said that it should accomplish. It's like food accomplishes my body way beyond what I have any idea what I'm accomplishing. That was the Rosh Hashanah explained why we usually refer to reasons and mitzvahs as time. It was a beautiful shot. But anyway, but he says it's Lakuta, and he says another idea like this in the next page. So he gives one example, right? There's even certain actions which we do. So the more it's like this, right? The famous mice of the Rav Shua and Rav Eliezer are arguing about the Tanu Shel Chnoi, is it Torah, is it Tomei, right? So if Baal Shem came out and said, that what do you want from Eliezer? He's right. Halacha comes to B'chol Mokum, it's Torah. Rav Shua got up a raglov and he said, Lo B'Shemayim. Why did he stand up? He'd get closer to heaven. What's the goal of standing up? It turns out he wanted to show that he's serious. I mean, we're talking the Shammai. But you see, there was a physical expression of the seriousness. It wasn't a seriousness of, it was a ruchni thing of seriousness. It was an intellectual seriousness. But I want to show that I'm really, I show it by standing up. I express it physically. Even though Batsim always is a Brooklyn stick of the point. So you see that the Russian wired us to do this. We have this connection, we connect the two worlds together almost instinctively. So this idea we're saying that there's a concept of Hishtashul is that's the point that he says. Let's go back to our verse. So Rashi says over here in Parsh Demor that these are the Moedim Shatikrus and Moedim, that you are curry them in Moedim. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Bezdin designates designates when it's going to happen. Bezdin has two powers of designation. One is, the second one is Kiddush HaChodesh. Each month they have to decide which day it's going to be. The first one is they also intercalate an extra month. Right. So the Rashi says the first one is that there's an, you know, it says twice in the parasha Ashetikru Esom. Rashi says one is referring to the process of Bezin intercalating a month to make sure that the Pesach will be in Chodesh Aviv, and otherwise our months, you know, eventually going to have like the Muslims, you know, Ramadan keeps playing out in different years and different times of the year. You know,
or, right? Or a good example, the Chinese are the only other civilization that has a lunisolar calendar, but they haven't had anybody take care of it. So now it's off for 500 years. We manage of a system, we've managed to keep it, but right. If you don't take care of that, all of a sudden it goes flying off.
So that's a myth. And the second one is Kiddush. So we're given a tzivui that Bezin should be conveyed the Yomim Tovim. So even though what Bezin doing this, rather they're doing adding a month, or they're deciding which day it is, what they're really doing is being Kirmei of the Moyen. Okay? So, I'm not going to go through everything which goes before him. The point he's telling is that the foolish people think that the reason, right, why Bezin was Mekadosh HaPiriyah, right? Bezin, Bezin Bezman Chazal, Bezman the Torah, was the Kiddush was HaPiriyah. They would see. And it would come, Bezin would be accommodated, and Bezin would decide what to do. Just do it, do the astronomical calculations to figure it out. Like, wouldn't that be so much better? The answer is, he said, some people said, because they were primitive and they didn't know, and they got it from the Greeks, right? It's a stupidity. Because he brings Raya, clearly, he says, what do you think happened when you had a cloudy month? They didn't have a month? It's a very intelligent thought process. What do you think happened? And then he brings other examples where clearly that there wasn't the issue. So why talk is that true? So the truth is there's a Ben Ochananel says that Bezin was given actually two systems how to do Mekadosh HaChodesh. A system which can be based on the astronomical realities or based on Bezin making decisions. And there's a Gemara Sanhedrin that says they're supposed to make decisions. They can make many different decisions. Bezin has a right to, it says that Shetigur some of my Talmud, the Gemara says, Ashetigur Atem, you decide. Atem afilo shagim, Atem afilo mezidim, Atem afilo mutoyim. You decide, even if you decided knowingly that there's other, that this is not the way the couch should go, you decide otherwise, you win. Bezin wins. So what's that message? Okay? So he says like this. I can read all this inside. Okay. Shalom here, he's rashes ben a goofy mashamim here in Sarah says Ischalas al Khadish. It's not the interplay between the heavenly bodies which creates the month. Jebezin, you say Mitzayun, the fun of greater Iru Yazen. All Bezin's job is just to inform everybody of what happened. So we have, for example, the Mor says Ruah Bezdin, Uchol Yisrael. The Mishnah says that the Bezdin saw the new moon. And well, he speaks alone in Mekudesh Achshe Shechasheicha Areizim Over. So it's the 30th day of the month. The Bezdin saw the new moon. They did not declare it Rosh Chodesh, and the sun set. So it's day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, not day 30. They saw the moon. The Bezin saw the moon. Like, what do you need? If the whole thing is just asking them to know that there's the moon, and that's all you need to know, well, what do we need? The answer, that's not the point. The point is not that Bezin saw the moon. The point is Bezin is going to decide that it's Rosh Chodesh. Bezin is going to decide the Moyed. Right, so why is that? Okay. So he says in the next page that that piece that we saw, the Moyed is the idea of a meeting. Okay. If I want to express this in the way humans would, where people would express this, right? You know, the point is we're going to have a meeting to get together. The point of it's a meeting to get together to connect, and I'm forcing you to come. It's not going to work. Right? That doesn't work. By definition, the point of if the goal is to have a, you know, have a date. You want both parties to be interested. It has to be ratzon chofshi mishnei hatzadim. Both sides have full desire to do it, doing on their own out of their own volition. That's not that's not what we're talking about, right? The master says to them, "You must come here together. That's the one. We'll enjoy each other's company." I mean, that, you know, come here, otherwise I'm going to beat you up. I mean, you know, that doesn't work. Hashem wants Klai Yisrael to come to him. Mishum kachu mitzayim rak b'ofen klali as ace boyam elov. Rosh Hashanah mercher masuyim. Shem soicha yuchlehem atzmon nikoy as a tarich hamaduyakli hisvados. You get to choose. Will you like it today? Will you like it tomorrow? Will you like it a month from now? The Rosh Hashanah is giving Klai Yisrael a vehicle to be that they're going to decide when and how to meet their Creator. Okay. It's just an astronomical calculation, and that's all it is. It's automatic. We're shackled. We're shackled by the blind power of nature. Okay. It's not true. We need to fight against this horribly dangerous and stupid, right? Which we think like it's like it seems to be like so obvious to us. It's dangerous and it's stupid. It's not when the heavenly bodies meet. It's not when the moon gets the light of the sun. The new moon gets the light of the sun. That now okay, the nature is controlling us. Etc. That's not what it is. It's not the physical. It's not even the calculations. We, Klal Yisrael, through our representatives, are deciding. That's Rosh Chodesh. This is a fascinating thing.
I like this line that we skipped. It's like Hashem creates that sign.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what we said before.
Right. Hashem Shamo Yimtzos Darkim. Every time there's a
that kind of shows us that Hashem is waiting for us.
Right.
We have to come.
No. Please come to the meeting.
It's like tells us he's ready.
So somebody like, you know, he met up with somebody that they're going to meet, and the guy didn't show up. Like, you know, like, great, you know. Rosh is like, you know, I sent you a message. You know, I would love to meet you in the next few days.
That's why we care about the Levitic. It's like Hashem's message to us.
Right.
Otherwise, we're not at all.
Now he says like this. So what about nowadays? So we'll talk about what is reality nowadays. Reality nowadays is that we don't have the Bezdin which has the power. You need Bezdin and Smuchim. We don't have a Bezdin which is Smuchim. Back to Moshe Rabbeinu, which has the power to designate the Yomim Tovim. And if you don't, it doesn't have a Din of Yom Tov. We don't have months. So you won't have the Din of Yom Tov. So what happened? So the last Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, which had the which was still Smuchim and saw that the situation is deteriorating, they're not going to have a Bezdin which are able to do that anymore, was a person named Hillel Hasheni. He was many generations after Hillel Hanasi. I think it was like 10 or 12 generations after Hillel Hanasi. So he sat there and made a system, made a calculation, and he was Makadish all of the upcoming months till Mashiach comes. So he put a Kiddush HaKadosh in place for thousands of months until Mashiach's going to come. So now we're, the Morris said, we're became a community article. We know exactly when Yom Tov is because it's been set up. So now we're much more enlightened and knowledgeable. And it says, right? So he says, Rak Bur Amor, it's only a fool. And Amor is Yukaliras Yisran Roy Lashabak Bikmiyosena Bikmiyan the Yarka. He's going to be happy and praise himself because now we know when it is. We know exactly what things are, and that's right. Right? It's a painful reality that we live in. We don't have any of the people who could do this for us anymore, which can decide for Klai Yisrael the right time. And because we don't have the person who can decide for Klai Yisrael the right time, what are we going to do? We're going to use a set reality. That's painful.
She's not interacting.
Okay. And Davka Mishum Rosh Hashanah, because Sam Kol Moedeno Nikpumi Rosh Shachol Erkul Lusenu, Veim Nirim Kavoyim Ma'akach Ma'atzah Luach Shana Bilti Mishtar Kayemis Hasakona Shehem Yoev the Bechina Zu Shal Kviya Bechavoshis Ben Hashem Ba'amod Mishitovas Be'amadimin Raham Avi Sokat Oiv the Atevo. The reason why people make this mistake and believe that the way to understand the Yom Tovim is just because we're bound by the nature, etc., is because we live in such a reality. That's very sad. That's why we keep Yom Tov Sheni does this. Yom Tov Sheni creates some element of there's possibilities. It says, so Yom Tov Sheni for us is a tremendously powerful thing. It relives for us a remembrance that there was once upon a time when things were different. And we were deciding. We were being kaveyah. Hamakari, Bakavia, Kopshila Yade Kilos, and we guys got to decide how to do it. That's the lesson of Yom Tov Sheni. I have to tell you, it's like such a gorgeous piece. It's 11:29, but you know, you have to jump out of your skin. Okay. That's the. I'm not going to rest that inside. Now, over here in Parsha Zemor, I'll get to Parsha Zemor, right? Okay.
Well, this is really
Parsha. Okay. So he says a point. He says Betzim that Amoyed is a Zman of Kedusha, like the Morale says, was that right? It's a Zman of Kedusha. It means a person put into time an element of Kedusha. Right? So just like when a person goes to the Mikdash is a place of Kedusha in place, this is a place of Kedusha in time. So there's, you can, what's the difference between the Mikdash and the Yom Tovim is the Mikdash, you have to go there to get that Kedusha. Time comes to you no matter where you are. You can be in the most far-flung reality of the world, the most unpretentious hovel which exists, the Kedusha is going to come there. Rabbi Sai. Okay, now listen to this. Makom hu musik shel kviyas bilti mishtana. V'kein gam hamikdash. A place, the point of place, it represents permanence. It represents kviyas. Yigash al mikdash shua yisar alaki anitzki atar v'yisar anoshi anitzki ateva anoshi biyachsim and anitzki medori. There are certain elements of the Bria which are realities. They're done. The Bresham created a Torah, created Kedusha. There's physical reality which exists in the Bria. And you have to find a way to bring those two together. So Mikdash was the vehicle which allowed you to bring the two together. Mikdash is a fascinating thing. Mikdash is so gashmistic. It's physical. It's built on a physical thing. It's with physical animals. There's blood. There's fats. There's fires. Right, you know, we picture holiness. We don't picture, you know, okay, looking for the Mitzvah coming. You say, what are you going to do? You're going to take an animal. You're going to shecht it. You're going to see take the blood. You're going to put on the mizbeach. You're going to take the fats. You're going to burn them. Right? It doesn't catch us because that's we don't have mikdash in our minds. Ruchni is divorced from gashmi. That's very sad. because it's not true. The Rosh Hashanah created a way that the very physical realities of the Bria, which are realities, and the reality of Kedusha is a reality, and the two of them can come together in one place. That's Mikdash. That's the Chiddush of Mikdash. So they're talking about the things which are they have an element of permanence and reality to them, that they represent Kedusha. Like the end of time is things change. There's always something new. It's always things. Time comes, time goes. It's all about lack of permanence. As things change, I also see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can also find a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the things which the permanence which exists. That's one way to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's another way to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu through the fact through the history, through the as things develop and evolve, etc. So both of those are valid expressions, and that's a big difference between the purpose of Mikdash Hashem Bizman and the Mokas. Point number one. Okay. Now he says over here like this. The pasuk says that Moyadei Hashem Asher Tikra Samba Mikroi Kodesh Elohe Moyadoi. So he ties to the pasuk like this: the Moyad of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the meeting of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which you decide what it is. That's my Moyad. If I have decided for you, it's not a Moyad, because the whole point is I want you to be coming on your own volition. So when you convey it, that's my. Then I said we had a good meeting. That's not a meeting. I call a meeting. That's Elohim Moyadoi. What are my Moyads? What are my meetings? The meetings which you are conveying that you want to come to me. That's what he touches the post. As he says over here in this little piece over here. Okay. And then he goes to the idea which we saw before. It's not a physical calculation. It's not a physical reality. It's not a physical calculation, but rather something else. Okay. Okay. Now, the last point over here on the page Tavkuf Sadi Gimel in the left column at the top. Mikroi Kodesh. Now, imagine if these were Yom Tovim that they were days to celebrate, as it were, the physical reality. So, how would you do that? Mikroi Kodesh. Hey, Mikarim Lono Yisrachim Min Atefa Lazav Asada Hayar Vamira. You leave your fields. You leave your forest, you leave your pasture. And you go to Beis Hamikdash. You're Erla Lereg. The Pesukim talk about, you know, the land is not. The Rosh Hashanah has to make a special shmirah to protect the land because nobody's home. That's how you're celebrating the land. Really? Well, depends on how far you are. Right, you know, the person, you know, the chiyav aliyah regel is anybody who has a piece of karka in Eretz Yisrael. As far as Eretz Yisrael is, that's what the chiyav aliyah regel. Rashi shita in Eretz Yisrael, the borders which the Torah is designating goes all the way up to Turkey.
Yeah, to where, Rambam has all the halachot about Syria,
right? All up to Turkey.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's all part of where Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be. Yeah. Now, I don't know, traveling by foot. Right, that's a long trip. Right? So you started, you know, 3 weeks before Pesach, you left your house. You came home 3 weeks after Pesach. You walked in the door and you said hello to your cow. You say, Elsie, it's nice to see you. You turn around to go back for Shavuos. Right? And then you came home again. So, you know, in the last 4 months, you've been home for 2 weeks. That's how you celebrate the land and the fruits, and it's a harvest festival. Really? It's ridiculous, he says. Hey, Marcham al Avoda Hazara Lateva. This is the opposite of the people which are the people which serve nature. Machrizim Kenegda. It's not the sun. The reason why they ripen, which is not the sun, El Hashem, it'll be safe. We have Yechus Hidu Seinu Ba'oviv, Yavshas Peir Seinu Ba'kayitz, Yimalias Asamena Ba'stov. Alel Shabbat is called, it's not Gusena, Musori, it's the Chavrasis, the Mem Shalta. So we leave everything behind and we serve a Kaddish Baruch. We go to the Mikdash. So as much as it's a idea of the, we are coming to greet him, but the real reality of coming to greet him is we live behind, don't define ourselves as natural beings, physical beings, totally in under this the shackles of nature. That the Yom Tov is the meeting of Kaddish Baruch Hu because it's Bedafka leaving nature behind. Yes, you bring a korban. You use nature to come. You bring bikurim. You bring things to use to recognize the physical things are ways to come close to Kaddish Baruch Hu. But you need, as it were, almost to walk away from the physical things. I once said that the pshat is by the Chassidim. You know, by the Chassidim, you know, Sukkot for sure. Even Pesach. There's no. Comes Yom Tov. There's no time. They're normal in Isma. Like they don't sleep. You know, they first they wait till Rabbeinu Tam Adam Mar. Then they go and they have a suda. Then they go back to the Rebbe for Tish. Or as soon as there's a shuaib. It's you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. The time they're finished. Then they go home and you know the Sam Rebbe, Hashana Rabbah. It's hard to be 9 o'clock in the morning. Hashanah Rabbah, the tefillah ends at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hashanah has the musaf.
Well, you know, Hashanah is the rabbi. You know, he had kabbalahs, etc. He would say Hashanah. He did all, it's a halal, Hashanah, the whole thing. It took 8 hours. They'd run home, they eat a suda, they'd run to the mikra, and come back from Mincha, and then, you know, that night, that's a mazar. Right? You know, like, you know, it was leaving behind this world. The one thing which we're sort of keeps us stuck in this world is time. Time controls us. The Seder Yom Tov, right, is to leave behind time. You know, Shuas. You know, so what Shuas? You stay up the whole night, and whether that's you know, it's not halacha. Pesach it's a halacha. You're supposed to stay up the whole night.
Yeah,
right. Briscoe said, you know, one of the paradoxes of our society, right? But I think, you know, Rebbe Wein always says that Menhom and Klai Yisrael represent a collective wisdom of Klai Yisrael that they understand something. The correct way to celebrate Shavuos is understand that you're not bound by time. Time doesn't define. Physical needs don't define. I need to sleep. No, you don't. Stay up. It's dark out. It's time to sleep. No, it's not. You're not bound by time. That's the message. We need to understand that. So they, in their world, which was the agricultural society, the most important way to overcome that was by leaving their fields behind. We don't live in an agricultural society. We're not that doesn't define us anymore.
We have a cell phone.
Right? Right?
Same idea.
You know, I once heard a shmuz from somebody. He says, you know, he always says, we are a volume to our cell phone.
Yes.
Right? Even though he was talking about before the cell phone, he was talking about regular phones. He says, He wants to be masakan a bracha that you say Erev Shabbos when you unplug the phone. There has to be a bracha because the hanoah of unplugging the phone is much more than the hanoah of anything else which exists in this brain. Because you're never near to the phone. Right? Now, why that's true? I'm not sure. You know, that's what we you know, that became our master. But the Rizor, Rav Avi Shulman says, you know, a story that this fellow was Midwest. You know, Bob comes, you know, John's house, and you know. They're talking, and the phone is ringing. So John says, you don't want to answer the phone? He says, no. He says, what do you mean? It's ringing. He says, listen, the whole idea of a phone is you get a phone because it's convenient. Right now, it's not convenient. You prefer the phone because it's convenience. It's not convenient. Why should I answer the phone? Right? That's the most logical statement in the world. But everybody else answers the phone. I remember one time, you know, sometimes I would do that. You know, my mother drove my mother batty. Like, why are you answering the phone? Because I don't want to answer the phone right now. I'm talking to you. I had my cell phone. I was there. She's like, why do you answer the phone? Because I'm talking to you, man. I don't want to answer the phone. So you have to answer the phone. Like, you know, why do you have to answer the phone? Like, I don't have to answer the phone. The phone doesn't own me. But it got her so nervous, I would answer the phone. You know, it was very, like, you know, imagine down the chavsus. You see, imagine somebody in my house watching. I'm talking to my mother, and I'm answering the phone in the middle of the conversation with my mother, right? You know, down the chavsus, right? Look at that guy. Like, the yarmulke. Like, he's talking to the mother, he answers the phone while he's talking to his mother, like, low life, you know. But anyway, that's an issue. But, like, you know, but we mamish, our machine. So, but where do we meet our physical reality through the master of time? And that's why I think, you know, the collective wisdom of Christ, so the minig is to stay up, is that message that, no, we're not bound by time. We're not bound by nature. Hmm. We can take our... We're bound by Tokarish Boru. The Hasidim are very good. They do it with the Gantz Pesach. They do it with the Gantz Sukkot, you know, also, you know. They don't wait till the Shavuos, you know. So we're not Hasidish.
Shachris.
In Shachris. You go to square for Shabbos. And every Shabbos. They daven late. Then everybody has a suit. They go back to the Rebbe. Tish finishes about 4 o'clock in the morning. They go home, they sleep for a few hours. They get up in the morning. They go, all
the... Shachris is still full. They all go to Shachris.
One second. They go to the mikvah. Everybody in the whole city goes to the mikvah. Okay? That itself is like a nace, like the base of mikdash, you know. The whole city is going to fit into the mikvah. Yeah? Then they say the whole city for Tillit before Shabbos morning. Takes them about 2 hours. They say it's Hebrew. They say the whole Sefer Tillim together. Then they start davening Shacharis. Now they're beginning to giving out aliyahs. Every 3 seconds they stop and they give an aliyah. So davening is over about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then they have a suda and they go to the rabbi for tish. Then they daven mincha and they have shoshudas for tish. And the tish goes usually about 2 or 3 hours after Shabbos is over. That's Shabbos. There's no sleeping on Shabbos. Come on. Yeah, you sleep 2 or 3 hours. Like Shabbos is l'mal min zman. It's a tremendously powerful thing that, you know, that they get it. That, you know, like, why are we allowing these physical, right? You know, my Shabbos, wake early Shabbos, we have a Suda, I go to sleep, I sleep, you know.
He's instituting tishas here.
Right? Then, you know, I get up, you know, learn something, daven, go home, I have a Suda, I go to sleep. Like, that's Shabbos for us, you know. Shira b'Shabbos Tanu, you know, I'm making fun of it. Like, this is my sleep for the week, you know. That's it, you know. So I survived the whole week because I sleep on Shabbos. But there's an akuda over here. I'm saying that, you know, that for them, Regel was able to do that. We have to find a certain way. There's a way for us to do it as well.
Their power is in the do it b'tzibur. It's much easier when everybody, there's hundreds of people in the middle of the nights having a tish.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I understand.
Which we had. I mean, even Shvi Shal Pesach here, there was no shiras. There was nothing. But Hasidim, you have shiras Hayam, everybody gathers. It's a big to do. Here, shiras Shvi Shal Pesach, I'm sitting there like, I would love to have some, you know, after the Suda, something b'tzibur.
I am not offering
myself. Yeah, so. The Hasidim, it's a power of the crowds. And
yeah,
that wakes you up physically and wakes you up.
Right.
And I think that's something that's lacking in the non-Hasidic world.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying,
especially in the smaller
saying that I think this Nakuda, so the few points that we've seen over here, this Nakuda of. And it says, you know, if a person will stop and think for a moment to really understand the halakhas and the processes and the messages over here, there's no way you're going to tie this to anything which is physical. It's the harvest festivals, and it's so clear that it doesn't make any sense. It's the opposite of any of that in the psukim. Okay. Uh-huh.